Let's read together Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. In this first half of Genesis 4, we have the births of Cain and Abel, the offerings of Cain and Abel, and the murder of Abel by Cain. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. Let's begin this first half of Genesis 4 now with some background notes. Question: Who was the first person ever born? Answer: Cain. If you said Adam, you were wrong, of course. Adam was not born. Adam was created by God. Now, whether Adam had a navel or not, I'll let you decide the answer to that question. In any case, Cain was the first person ever born. Can you imagine that event? I would guess that Adam helped deliver the child. We read in verse 1 that Eve said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. It may be that she thought Cain was the promised redeemer. How disappointed and heartbroken Adam and Eve must have been when they saw their firstborn turn away from the Lord and murder his brother. How sad. Many Christian parents have been disappointed like Adam and Eve to see one or more of their children turn away from the Lord. And maybe there are some Christian parents here this morning in that category. Well, let me assure you, on the basis of this scripture, that you are not the first parents to suffer great disappointment and heartache concerning your children. And maybe just the matter of realizing this from Genesis chapter 4 can be an encouragement and comfort to you as well. In verse 5, we see that Cain was angry and miffed that God had not accepted his sacrifice. So God said to Cain in verse 7, If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, that you should rule over it. God gave Cain a second chance, but warned Cain that if he did not take it, then sin lies at the door. Now, what does that mean? It's been suggested that God was telling Cain there was a sin offering available at the door. I don't think that's the meaning in view of the context. It seems to me what we have here is that God is telling Cain that if he does not accept God's means of grace, then sin and its effects will overcome him. Cain may have already been plotting Abel's murder. The only way to be able to keep sin in check is to accept God's means of grace. That was true then, that is true today. The only way to have victory over sin in our lives is to accept God's means of grace, which is found in Christ alone. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Genesis chapter 4. Doctrinal point number 1, God does not accept Cain-type offerings. God does not accept Cain-type offerings. Cain was a tiller of the ground. That is a farmer. Nothing wrong with being a farmer, right? And so Cain did the most natural thing, it would appear. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 3, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He brought of the fruit of his labor and gave it to the Lord. Now, what's wrong with that? It sounds like Cain was a godly person. He gave to the Lord something he had worked hard for. But verse 5 says that God did not respect Cain and his offering. Why not? After all, Abel was a shepherd and God accepted his offering of a sheep. Why would God reject an offering from Cain's area of labor? How many of you have ever felt sorry for Cain at this point? Well, it's at this point we must assume that God had already revealed what the acceptable offering was, the acceptable way of sacrifice. In fact, I think it's more than a mere assumption. It's a fact. Now, how can I say that with any degree of authority? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. The great faith chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 4, we read, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Throughout the Bible, faith is defined as believing God and acting on what God has said or revealed. Faith, as defined in the Bible, is never a blind leap. It's always a reasonable step based on what God has spoken or revealed. So we believe that God had revealed the way of sacrifice, and both Cain and Abel knew what God had said and knew the right way of approach to God. Abel believed and by faith brought an animal sacrifice. Cain did not believe and decided to come his own way. Cain and his offering of the fruit of the ground was not accepted. Cain's rejection was not because he was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. God wasn't playing favorites with what they did in life. No, Cain was rejected because he came his own way and not God's way. The same is true today. God does not accept Cain-type offerings. In Jude, verse 11, we read, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now, who's the them in this verse, Jude 11? It's the false teachers that Jude is denouncing. And what's the way of Cain? It's the way of works, trying to come to God in your own way, on your own terms. God does not accept Cain-type offerings. You must come to God in God's way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. The Bible couldn't say it any plainer. The only acceptable approach to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's way. And yet people continue to try to bring offerings to God of their own making. You know, I recently talked to a man who thought he was going to heaven because of three things. He had never cheated on his wife, he loved his family, and he practiced good business ethics. This was his offering to the Lord. This was going to get him into heaven. Well, these things are good, but they are not acceptable as an approach to God for salvation. These are Cain-type offerings. If you want your sins forgiven, remember, God does not accept Cain-type offerings. And that brings us then to doctrinal point number 2. God does accept Abel-type offerings. God does accept Abel-type offerings. Abel came God's way. God's way was the way of animal sacrifice. Now, why did God choose the way of animal sacrifice? I think everyone here this morning knows the answer to that question, right? Abel's sacrifice looked forward to the one great sacrifice to come in the future, namely the Lamb of God, when the Lord Jesus would go to the cross and die for for the sins of the world. Certainly, that one great sacrifice is pictured in the way of sacrifice in the Old Testament. Let's read Hebrews 11, verse 4 once again. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Abel believed God and acted on the basis of what God had said. Faith. That's what faith is. Thus, Abel came to God and offered to God by faith. Abel, though dead, still speaks. How? He is a model for everyone who wants to please God. Abel came to God in God's way, not in his own way. What is God's way today? God's way today is to approach God on the basis of the one great offering that was pictured in Abel's sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God does accept Abel-type offerings. What about practical application from this first half of Genesis 4? We are our brother's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. After Cain murdered Abel, God confronted him. Verse 9, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, what was God's answer to Cain's callous question here? Verse 10, God said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Notice, even though Abel's voice was silent, his blood cried out for justice, and God heard that cry. Cain was totally responsible, and he would be judged. Of course, written between the lines of God's answer to Cain here was, yes, you are your brother's keeper. And so are we. We are our brother's keeper. Listen to the words of 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. 1 John, as you know, is a letter written to believers. Think of it. We are warned here not to be like Cain in our attitude towards one another. Oh, we may not murder one another, but we may be jealous of them and even hate them because their lives are more righteous than ours. Is anyone here this morning in that category? You refuse to love your brother or sister in Christ? You have a Cain-like spirit? We are warned about this in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Remember, we are our brother's keeper. We have a responsibility to love them, to watch out for them, and not exhibit a Cain-like spirit. 1 John 3 is written to believers. Remember, we are our brother's keeper.